The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the fourth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When evening had come, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And waking up, Jesus rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Be silent, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship in the most air-conditioned space in our church. Yeah. Amen. Except for my office, which often is either 78 degrees or 59, depending on the day. We could hold worship in there on the hottest day of the year, and that might be fine. This past Wednesday, as our country was honoring Juneteenth, the day in 1865 when enslaved people in Texas finally heard that they had actually been freed 18 months earlier, and as so many of us across the country were weathering a record-breaking and soul-sucking heat wave, the entire 911 system in the state of Massachusetts went down. In the entire state. And it wasn't actually a malfunction, as I understand it, but rather an over-functioning of security that was trying to keep the 911 system safe. Meanwhile, people across our sweltering state were being told that if they needed safety, if they had a fire, for example, that they should simply walk to the nearest fire station. That seems reasonable. Do you have a fire? Walk to the fire station. Are you having heat stroke? Walk to the fire station. Are you having a baby? Walk to the fire station. There might be a day when this story is truly funny and would give birth to a great many jokes, except it wasn't so funny, was it? It was really, really unfunny. It might be funny, in fact, if the world was not already on fire. It might be funny if so many people were not already saying, "Who are we going to call? Who are we going to call?" Okay. I knew there were some people in here that would say that. Who will help us in this storm? When the disciples were on the boat with Jesus, just trying to make it to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, they were overwhelmed by a sudden storm. And although they were fishermen and familiar with boats and water, at that moment they weren't equipped to try to deal with that storm. They didn't know how to deal with that storm that was happening. And so who could they call? If they were in Massachusetts, apparently not 911. And on the Sea of Galilee, it was not even Jesus, their teacher and leader, who was on the boat with them but was taking a nap. Jesus was quite literally asleep on the job. "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" the disciples cried as the boat was taking on water. And Jesus seemed unperturbed. He was sleeping through it all. "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Nine words that have been said and indeed cried out by so many. This is the cry of Americans who cannot shop for groceries or attend a concert or go to school or attend a Bible study without the fear of being shot. This is the cry of Palestinian and Israeli friends living under the devastating effects of occupation and war. This is the cry of our unhoused and inadequately housed neighbors in this city that we, most of us, call home. This is the cry of all who are oppressed, hungry, violated, and hoping for a word of hope. Teacher, do you not care? God, do you not care that we are perishing? Wake up, Jesus. We have heard this cry throughout Scripture, before this text, Mark chapter 4, Psalm 44, awake, O Lord. Why do you sleep? Rouse yourself. Do not reject us forever. Psalm 74, rise up, O God, and defend your cause. Psalm 80, how long, O Lord? Jesus, how long can you sleep, actually? Really? Who can we call upon if not you who are in the boat with us, on this boat with us in this storm? On the one hand, friends, this morning, we are gifted with this gospel text, which is full of hope and power and love and a miracle. And on the other hand, we may mostly identify with the disciples who were on that boat. At times, it feels like Jesus is really asleep while people are suffering. And while I take comfort with knowing that he's with me and with us all in the boat, I also sometimes want to shake him up and say, get with it. The world is a hot mess. In fact, the world is just really hot right now. Amen? Lord, I want to see Jesus. Lord, I want to hear your words again, right now, calming the raging seas, saying, peace, be still. Now, one of my favorite places in Boston and one of my spouse's favorite places is the Isabella Gardner Museum. And you probably all know this better than I do, but in the great art heist that happened in 1990, one of the pictures that was taken was of Jesus calming the storm. And they've never found it. Brittany can tell you many things about this because she is obsessed with this story. But one of the things that I know is they've never found it. And the images, the paintings that were taken were kind of random, right? But this particular one is taken, and they never found it. And I've thought to myself, why would someone take that one? Why would someone take that particular painting? And then it's never been sold or found again. And I wonder if it was a person who was so moved by that image, who was so moved by the image of Jesus calming the storm that they wanted to hold it and have it to themselves. Somewhere in his basement, his or her basement, it's somewhere. We know that it is. Maybe they just wanted to look upon it because their life was so difficult or so stormy. They wanted to know that Jesus was there with them. I don't know. That's not in the biography that was just published. But I wonder about that. And I think that we are drawn to this story and maybe to that image because the storms of human sinfulness, of natural and unnatural disasters, and the drama of just life lived with other humans, that drama seems to overtake us. And it's always okay, hear that, it's always okay to pray to Jesus to take it away. It's always okay to say, Jesus, take this from me. Wake up, I can't do it anymore. I need you. Thanks be to God, we know that Jesus, crucified and risen, has already heard our call. Has already heard our call and has made things right in an existential sense. because he loved us all the way to the cross. And that means our sins have been forgiven. We have been made right with God. And because he is raised, we will be raised with him to eternal life. Amen? Yes, we know this. Lutherans also know that there's a both and for everything. We are saved. Jesus hears our call. And in reality, as disciples, we are on the boat with Jesus. And that means that the storms will never actually pass over forever. Especially when we're in the boat with Jesus. Especially when we're in the boat with Jesus, we will experience some bumpy waters. Why? Because crossing seas, crossing boundaries, confronting fears, smashing human-made divisions will always be controversial, and the powers and principalities of the world will always push back and make waves when we are making waves. On that day, when Jesus and the disciples got onto the boat, when they left the shore, it wasn't because they were trying to have a tour, a duck boat tour of Boston. In fact, they were trying to get to the other side. They were trying to get to the other side, and it was a signal that Jesus was sending that the gospel, his message, was not just for one people, but was for also the people over there. For the people on the other side of the sea, the people, the Gerasenes, the folks we don't like to talk to, the ones who are different from us, Jesus was bringing his faithful followers across the sea to a place others considered forbidden and foreign and even perhaps dangerous. It should be no surprise then when the doorbell rings and someone comes in that we weren't expecting. And it should be no surprise that when we choose to follow Jesus and his gospel of love, when we confess our own implication in racism, when we speak and act against occupation, when we refuse to accept extremist rhetoric from anyone, when we venture with Jesus to a new place in our lives or in our world, that we might be battered with a storm and it might be hard. And there will be pressure to go back. There will be pressure to come back to shore, the shore that seemed more comfortable. There will be those who tell lies about us and try to fill us with fear, who will try and discredit Jesus or our interpretation of Jesus' words. There are people who will tell us that we're just foolish for even getting on the boat. Good morning, Birgitta. We're glad you're here. There will be people who tell us that we're silly for even getting on the boat. And yet, even in that storm, even in the storms that you might be navigating in your life, there is good news. In case you needed to hear this today, you can always call on Jesus. You can always call on Jesus. One of my favorite gospel songs is Jesus is on the main line. And I think that there's only a few people in this room that are old enough to know what a main line is. Jesus is on the main line. Call him as you want. We can always call on Jesus. It might feel that Jesus is asleep on the job, but he's always with us. We may be afraid, but he is our strength. We may be lacking in faith, but he never leaves our side. With Jesus on the boat, we know that storm or no storm, God's word will never be drowned out. We have been called and empowered to carry the gospel from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth, the gospel of love to every person. Amen?
Amen.
I could stop there, but I'm not gonna. Because there's another part of this text that, I mean, it's only a 7-verse gospel text, actually. And yet there are so many things that we can take from it. And the one thing that always sticks with me is this. Hear again the beginning of this gospel text. On that day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. Jesus and his small band of disciples made their way to the other side in a boat, one tiny little boat, and other boats were with them. Other boats were with them because there were all those crowds who had been gathering around Jesus, and they had also heard the good news. And they got in boats and they followed him to the other side. They had heard about how God's kingdom of heaven and earth is not just for one people, not just for the religious authorities, not just for the 12 who first heard the message, not just for the women who were there at the tomb and saw the resurrection, and not just for the white Europeans who made the Jesus movement into a mighty colonial power. Other boats were with them because the gospel of love was the message the world needed then and the message the world needs now. Just as other boats followed Jesus through those waters, those treacherous waters, to take his message to the other side, and they were not alone, so we are not alone as Unilu, as this congregation. When we want to set across a stormy sea or do difficult things, other boats are with us, other boats full of people. We're joined by a great cloud of witnesses. Today, as we just honored Juneteenth, I'm remembering the Reverend Clementa Pinckney of Emmanuel AME Church, who went to a Lutheran seminary, who welcomed a white boy into his Bible study, and that boy sat next to him for an hour studying the Word of God before being shot and killed by him. Other boats are with us. We're joined by Mubarak Awad, a Palestinian Christian known as the Gandhi of Palestine. He was kicked out of Jerusalem, his homeland, in 1988 after founding the Palestinian Center for the Study of Nonviolence, a center which advocated peaceful protest, planting olive trees, and above all, never, ever picking up a gun. Remember his name, Mubarak Awad, when people say, "Where is the MLK of Palestine?" Other boats are with us. We are joined by Dorothy Day of New York, Desmond Tutu of South Africa, Martin Luther of Germany, Lema Gabawi of Liberia, so many others who have crossed stormy seas because they too wanted to follow Jesus. This is not an easy time in history to believe in miracles, but here is one we can believe in, and that we have seen. In spite of the winds of war, the waves of hatred, and the stormy acts of violence, which just keep happening again and again, other boats continue to join us. People show up to church and want to join the church and want to hear the gospel. People show up to rallies. People pray at home and at church, and in silence and in public. And they want to join us. Together, we will get there. Together, we can have faith in the storm. Together, we can trust that we can always call on the one who invited us on the journey, the one who promises to be with us to the very end, the one who can calm the mightiest storm with just those few words. Peace, be still. The end of my sermon is inviting us to an extended moment of silence. And maybe this is good practice for us to have a moment of silence, even in a storm of sound, a few moments of silence to listen for the still strong voice of Jesus, who calms our fears and who calls us even now to continue the journey across waters of faith. So we'll have a few moments of silence, Shalu, before we sing. Amen.